Well, this morning you were likely expecting to hear from Pastor Steve, and unfortunately Pastor Steve is not able to be with us this morning. He has shingles, and if any of you have ever had shingles, you know that he is not having any fun whatsoever right now. And so, you know, as others are dealing with sickness and troubles and struggles, if you have some time, please consider him and be in prayer for him as he is at home. Now, we are in the middle of this series, Do It Again. Do It Again. And we're discussing this idea, this thought around revival, God doing a mighty work in our lives as individuals, but also God doing something amazing, likely something none of us have ever experienced before. Something we have heard about, something that we can read and we see in the scriptures and throughout the pages of history, where God breaks in, where his kingdom truly does come here on earth as it is in heaven. When Steve talked to me at the beginning of the week and said, Lindsay, I need you to step in for me, one of the first things that came to my mind is this story that God has just sort of laid on my heart as I was reading through the book of Acts, and I want to share with you some thoughts around this. I want to introduce you to another old guy. From one old guy, I want to introduce you to another old guy. This is a gentleman who made a tremendous difference in the early church, and yet, I don't know about you, but we probably don't think a lot about this old guy. You likely recognize his name, but you see, he's not someone that we generally, name our kids after. We name our kids after all kinds of biblical people and important people. We have Paul's and Mary's and Elizabeth's and Luke's, but very few Gamaliel. Who's Gamaliel? What are you talking about? Yet Gamaliel, in the very early days of the church, made a statement, a decision that we could and should let kind of settle in on us today, in this season. And it's not just because of what he said, but what it said about him. Gamaliel. Let's sort of get our bearings and figure out where we are. So in the grand story, so Jesus has been on the earth, right? We just had Christmas, so let's throw in 33 years in the last 5 weeks. He's grown up and he's lived his life. He's been running around doing his teaching and his miracles, and people have been getting to know him, and Jesus has done this. But not just that, he's now ascended into heaven, right? He was killed and he was raised to life again, and he went around and showed himself to others, and he had those few weeks with his followers, and then he ascended to heaven. And as Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit descended down to his followers. The church was forming, it was beginning, right? People were, as we read in the early parts of Acts, there were people who were attracted to what was happening. There's some things going on, and people were being drawn into what was happening. But as you can also imagine, and as you probably recognize and remember, there was also opposition to this church and to what was taking place. People were finding freedom and healing, and we're finding forgiveness and new purpose for life. And yet, just like when Jesus was walking on earth, some of the religious folks, some of the leaders, political, business, well, they weren't buying it. They weren't really into it. And those who had authority had said, enough is enough, and they were jailing the apostles, the disciples, those early leaders within the church. Why were they jailing them? They were jailing them for speaking about Jesus. Now, they were literally in jail as we're picking this story up, and yet during the night what happened was that God reached in and freed them. God freed the apostles from being in jail. And he tells them, listen, in the morning, I want you to go out to the temple courts and I want you to speak of this new life that I have given you and that others are experiencing. And this was in direct defiance of the high priest. It was the very reason why they were jailed. Morning comes, and as you can imagine, there is confrontation once again. And you've got this little interaction between the apostles and these leaders, like, what are you doing? This, first of all, how are you out? Well, God let us out. What are you doing? We told you not to do this. If you do this, you're going to be put in jail. And they're like, well, who are we going to obey? Are we going to obey you or are we going to obey God? There's something to consider. And then they raised the stakes a few little bit. Not just God, but the God of your ancestors. Who are we going to obey? I mean, your God, our God who raised Jesus from the dead, we will not stop speaking of him and this new life. And we pick it up in verse 33 of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 33, it says, when they heard this, they were furious. This is the religious leaders. This is the people who jailed the apostles when they heard the defiance from them. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee, dun, 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 right, named Gamaliel, whoa, a teacher of the law, who is honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied around him. Now, he was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all the followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Gamaliel, little known Gamaliel, took a hold of the situation, calmed things down, and brought reason to the escalating scene. Are you sure you want to do this? He's saying. Like, be careful. Be careful. I just love what he says in verse 39. But if it is from God, if this movement is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Now, this in some ways is a very courageous thing. Maybe it's what you might expect, but what you need to understand is that Gamaliel was one of the peers. He was one of the guys. He would be expected to kind of follow along, to toe the line, to be in favor of all that was going on. And yet, you see, what was happening in Gamaliel's life was that he had been waiting, like these other religious people, awaiting the coming of the Messiah. The prophecy, the coming of this Messiah, this God. And he had been waiting for years. He was not a young man. He had been respected over those years, and yet he got to this point, and he believed it was time to stand up and risk his reputation, throwing away his status, if you like, and standing up before these religious leaders. Why? Why would Gamaliel do this? Why would Gamaliel risk his position, his status, all that he knew and all that he was experiencing? Why would he do that? Why? Because Gamaliel had been waiting. Gamaliel was anticipating. Because Gamaliel wanted to see God at work, and he'd been hearing stories and he had seen things. And he was anticipating this long-awaited Savior. Now, it would have been so much easier for him just to bow down to the pressure of his peers. And yet he was unwilling to do that. His reasoning was quite simple. It was laid out well there by Luke in Acts chapter 5. There were others who had come along. I don't know if you realize that. There were other people who claimed to be the Messiah, claimed to be the long-awaited one, the one that was prophesied about. And yet what would happen is they would start teaching, and there would be people who followed the one, as you saw there, 400 men followed. There would have been all kinds of women and children as well. It would have been quite a movement, actually. And yet they discovered that it went away. There were others who had come. And yet, Gamaliel's belief was that if it was from God, we will not be able to stop these men. And here's the kicker, and why would we want to? Why would we want to? Are we not anticipating, are we not awaiting for God to do more than we could ever ask, dream, or imagine? I mean, this is what Gamaliel is challenging his peers with. Is this not what we're awaiting? Is this not what we want? I mean, we're a ways into the early church when we get to this story. Like, God is doing some amazing things in the lives of people. It is turning that part of the world upside down. There's no doubt about it. But Gamaliel goes, is this not what we've been anticipating? Is this not what we've been waiting for? See, Gamaliel had been waiting and wanted to see God in all his fullness. And he was seeing and hearing what God was already doing. And yet, here's maybe the word that we need to hear this morning. Yet it was not his way. God was stepping in and doing things and turning Gamaliel's life on its head. What was taking place was not the way that Gamaliel had experienced faith and life. It was not his tradition. It was not his comfort zone. Have you been feeling that a little bit as we have entered into this new year? As Steve has been led and is calling for us to lean in to new ways, to new thoughts, to new expectations. I haven't been able to shake the idea that Gamaliel is a story for me in this season. Am I willing to lean into some of these new thoughts, these new ways, these new expressions? To dream again. You see, for Gamaliel, the hope and the dream that the Messiah had really come was able to overshadow and overturn his tradition, if you like, his way, if you like, his way of doing life. He was willing to allow that to overturn his fears. Why? Because he wanted to see God work. His status, Who cares, he said. His position. He was willing to see and do something different, although it was uncomfortable, although he may have had some doubts, no question. He was willing, if you like, to have a rethink. A rethink about the way things had always been done. And so this morning, I'm just asking myself, and I guess I'm asking you, can you have a rethink? Do you need a rethink? Where do you find yourself in this story? Like, I don't think any of us want to fight against God. I mean, would we be here? Would you be tuned in? I can't see that. But are we willing to re-envision things, like to allow God to reshape some things? We need to let God do God. Let's not fight against what God is doing. Let's not box God out, if you like. Or maybe you want to say, let's not box God into, he can only do certain things in certain ways. Let's not ignore what maybe we're seeing and hearing. Let's engage with what God is doing and what God wants to do and with what God is saying. Let's not fight against God as if we could stop it. Good word from Gamaliel for me. How about you? The second story that I want us to look into this morning is from what Luke read for us, what Jake read for us from Luke. It's from Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 comes from the church calendar. Let's pick it up in chapter 5, verse 4. And it says there, when he had finished speaking. So Jesus was speaking. He was teaching, right? And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, you know, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and the story continues. Now, this scenario, this story, this picture, is one that had played out time and time again. And it plays out before us. Yes, the circumstances are unique. I don't know if anyone here is a commercial fisherman, has been out fishing all night. To where Jesus arrives and does some teaching. But here's what I know is that Jesus has arrived and he has done some teaching in your life. He's met with you. And he sees our lives. And you see, Jesus, he does this teaching and he said something to us and we are, well, like, hold on, Jesus, I don't think you quite understand. I'm an expert fisherman and we've been out all night. And you know what, Jesus, it's just not going to happen tonight. But thanks. How about you just stay in your lane? I don't think we ever quite say that. But I think we can do that. And you see, you and I, we have a decision to make. Are we willing to say, okay, God, you do God, and I am going to trust you. This doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, relationally, has God ever called you and asked you to do something that you just kind of go, what? As an employee, as an employer, as a neighbor, as a husband, as a parent, financially, relationally. The question that this story asks us, and what Gamaliel, I guess, is asking us as well, is does Jesus have enough credibility in our lives to cause us to have a rethink? I mean, I just love the reading, the prayer that we did. A lot of that prayer that I read with you earlier and we prayed together was from, you know, Isaiah chapter 40. And it just speaks of this picture of our God who's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand or the breadth. Well, our God has. I love this question. Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Or who taught him the right way? No, nobody but our God understands. To whom will you compare our God, or to what image will you liken him? And that question leads us to, and so then, who has authority in your life? You see, the question around this for me, and I expect probably for you, is are you willing to consider that his kingdom, right, is something to be sought first? Like, are you willing at times to say, actually, he does know more, so because he said so, I will. I don't fully get it. It doesn't make sense to me. But because he said so, I will. And therefore, I will endeavor to walk into his kingdom and surrender my ways to his ways, to the Spirit of God, to welcome in his ways, not my way. This is a significant statement. Posture. It's one of humility. It's one of resignation. It's one of surrender. It's one of reverential respect. But because you say so, I will. The question is, will I or will I not trust God? So, we have two stories here, Gamaliel and Peter. What keeps God from being able to do God, if you like? What are some things that get in the way of God working in and through our lives and seeing his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Well, in the story of Gamaliel, we certainly saw it. We saw it with jealousy. Like they were going to throw these men back into prison. Why? They were jealous. They were angry. They were fearful. We're afraid of losing control. Sometimes it's, listen, I've done this before. I've said in my life, but God, you know, because you say so, I will. And I've been willing to sort of open up and surrender. And God never met me there. It just didn't seem like God, I mean, he didn't do what I asked. It was like I was expecting, anticipating this amazing thing, and God never met me there. And we're sometimes maybe just a little afraid of entering back into that space. And I get that. I was writing down just some of these thoughts, like what keeps God from doing, you know, God. And one of the things was I was writing down 21st century pride. And then I thought, wait a minute. I think it's first up 21st century pride. We think we've all got it figured out. Certainly people back in Jesus' day did as well, and they just wanted to push God aside. Are we willing, are we interested to see God do it again? You see, as we are calling for revival, for God to do God, let us seek the King of this kingdom. Let us seek the King of this kingdom, maybe in new ways. Maybe there's some things that we need to reintroduce into our lives. Maybe we need to dream more. We need to learn in this year to know and want to know God more, to seek him first, to seek first this King, to sit with him, to talk to him, to listen, like just to be still and let God speak to us. You see, as we call out for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we're calling out for him to pour out his spirit in new and fresh ways. And to probably do some things in ways that we have never seen before. Maybe that we're a little nervous about. I don't know. As we've been talking of this concept of revival, of God, do it again, what we're talking about is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers, you and I, that results in the kingdom of God being manifested on earth here in Victoria, as it is in heaven. And so we have some things to consider, some things to think about. Are we willing to allow God to be and do God? It may not be your way, it may not be your thought, but can we not fight against God, but allow him to be God? And I'm expecting that there's going to be many times where, as you're getting closer to the king of this kingdom, as you're sitting with him and following him and trusting him, that God's going to call you to ask and maybe do some things that's just not you. That doesn't make sense. Could we break out that powerful phrase, "But because you say so, I will"? We're going to go to communion now. Communion, you know, represents that very thing. I mean, Jesus in the garden said, "Father, if there is some other way, yet not my will, but your will be done." So I just want us to take some time. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we're going to take this wafer. For those of you at home, if you need to pause and pick something up, I encourage you to do so. But I just want to pray, and then we will take the bread together. Lord Jesus, we come to you. You are the king of this kingdom. And so this morning, in this moment of communion, we want to take time to seek you, the king. To be reminded of who you are and what you have done. And not just end it there, but to live in anticipation and expectation of what you want to do. And God, maybe you need to stir up in our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, that just stir up more of a longing to partake, to sit with, to follow you. In spite of our fear, in spite of maybe what others might think or say, in spite of those things that just seem like, "Are you kidding me? That makes no sense." And yet we can trust you. We see it. We've heard it. We need you. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and living this life and demonstrating for us what it is to live, what it is to surrender, what it is to consider others before our own needs, what it is to set aside status, if you like. In your words, Lord, it was set aside equality with God, like you came down, you took on flesh, and we thank you so much. And we do this, we take this now, Jesus, in remembrance of you.